Hello, everyone, and welcome to Cellular Healing TV, episode 26, I believe. So that's 26 weeks straight. We've been bringing you real information and truth on real results, real solutions that make a difference in your life and health. I'm here with a special guest today, Dr. Jay Davidson. He's part of our inner core of trainers and coaches within our Health Centers of the Future organization, so we're blessed to have him on the show today. Obviously, our main health expert, Dr. Dan Pompa, and my co-host, Dr. David Asarno. I always call him Doctor. I don't know why.
I'm not a doctor. I just play one on Cellular Healing TV.
You should. And my name's Warren Phillips, if you can't read the little banner there. I hope that you can see it. So, really exciting topic today. Dr. Pompa's been gets a lot of questions, you know, from the public on fatigue and adrenal exhaustion, adrenal fatigue. This is a big hot topic in the natural health field, and we want to tackle the truth behind adrenal fatigue and what really causes it and how to effectively restore adrenal function and obviously energy, and it affects so many things in your body. Dr. Pompa, let's get this topic started this morning.
Yeah, you know, I always get calls, and I think I would have to say that one of the top complaints is at least for people who've been around a while, right, in the natural health world, looking for why they don't feel well. And they say, I have adrenal exhaustion, or could it be my adrenals? My adrenals aren't right. And I have to say, you know, they're right. I mean, typically the adrenals are, in fact, fried. They're not responding normally anymore, which can affect their sleep, can affect anxiety, can affect their energy, can affect a lot of things. But what I always tell them is that the adrenals or a downstream problem to something else, another stressor that's still there that is exhausting the adrenals. So my point is this, that most of the time, the work that we do on the adrenals typically doesn't make us well. It can help certain things, but I know that when I was sick, oftentimes the stuff that I would do with my adrenals, I would have more energy than I wouldn't sleep as well that night and literally have more anxiety at times. So it's this odd thing of balancing the adrenals. But, you know, when I was sick, Warren, and you probably recall this, that I knew that there was something even further upstream. I narrowed it down to my pituitary, that my pituitary hypothalamus really was the big problem. And just for a little reminder for those, that sits in the center of your brain. And it sends signals to our thyroid and our adrenals, and we call that an axis. So in other words, there's communication that goes back from these endocrine glands, our thyroid and our adrenals, back to the hypothalamus pituitary. And I knew that that control tower that sat in my brain wasn't responding normally. So maybe one of you all could draw a little picture, but the hypothalamus, it sits in there near the pituitary and it receives the information. So it's the receiving part of the control tower. And then it sends hormones or signalers to the pituitary, and then the pituitary sends out signals to our adrenals and our thyroid. So I knew that something was wrong there, and I'll finish the rest of that story later on what I found out and what we did about it. But oftentimes that's the problem with many you know, the clients that we see, is that in fact the problem is up higher in that axis of communication. But the problem can also be at the cell, right? The cell receptor to those hormones, which we talk a lot about, and typically it's both. But the adrenals are the downstream whipping boy. The adrenals get beat up with physical stress, chemical stress, emotional stress, and it is absolutely a real thing, and we'll even give you some tips on what Dr. Jay and I do to help that. But Dr. Jay, you might want to add to that part of the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, this is such a popular thing that we deal with, you know, as far as dealing with clients and things like that. Can you guys see me?
Yeah. Well, I can click on you so you're not popping up. And Dan, if you want to accept that invitation for the draw app, I'll do it to Jay too. I think it'll just pop up as like a little thing, and then I can start drawing for you guys.
Is it the little pencil with the mustache?
Yeah. I'll invite that when I'm. Yeah, so that will enable you to.
Okay.
You have one nice camera and one fast internet connection, because you're like you're HD live, man. You look like I can see if you had wrinkles, I could see them right now.
Yeah, well, I'd like to obviously chime in on the adrenals too, because you know, so many people are so many people are affected with adrenal stress, adrenal fatigue, adrenal issues. But I think what we have to understand is that we have to identify with the person, okay, who actually has adrenal stress and what are some signs and symptoms. So, for instance, an easy test that you could do is you could take a flashlight, go up to a mirror, shine a flashlight into your pupil, and so that's basically the dark middle part of the eyeball. When you shine a light in there and kind of shine it indirectly off to the side, when you shine that light indirectly into your pupil, the pupil should get smaller. Well, when you have great adrenal function, that pupil should stay the same size, assuming that the flashlight is at the same distance. But if you're holding it there and you see the pupil start pulsating, that's a big sign that, hey, there's adrenal stress to the body. And another big sign and symptom that I always walk my clients through and health participants is, okay, when you get stressed, do you get really achy? And how many people out there, I mean, listening to this right now, they have that type of symptom. And here's the correlating factor with that. 80% of the vitamin C that's stored in our bodies are actually stored in the adrenals. And so those people that can take just a little bit, and you know this, Dr. Pompa, can take just a little bit of vitamin C and have, a fast bowel movement, and then other people where they can literally just take tons and tons of vitamin C and they get no what we call saturation point, diarrhea at all, and those are the people that are just taxed on the adrenals. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, Dr. J, that's true. I've had people go to over 100,000 grams of vitamin C and still not have diarrhea effect, which, obviously if I do it now, I top out at probably around 5,000. So just to give but, Jay, you're right. I remember doing that in my, doing the light test when I was sick. It looks like I'm doing it right now, doesn't it? So you can see the light coming from my left here. And we're going to look at my adrenal or my eyes. But yeah, when you put the light on, you're going to see a normal adrenal, you'll see a constriction or, a dilation, but it holds. Well, if you're doing a light, you're going to see a constriction, but it holds and it doesn't pulsate. Mine would go zoom, 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 zoom. Yeah, so that's what shows the adrenal exhaustion. And another one, Jay, is the orthostatic, which I know that you do in your office. You can just go ahead and explain that a little bit.
Yeah, so the orthostatic blood pressure, basically when you're looking at orthostatic blood pressure, is where you take blood pressure when somebody's laying flat, when they're laying down flat, and then you take the blood pressure, then when they're laying down flat, you tell them, okay, I'm going to have you stand up, but I'm going to have you stand up as fast as possible, up on your feet, and then you take the blood pressure again. And usually I like to use the automated ones just because they're really quick and so you can get a good reading. But basically, let's take somebody's blood pressure. You have a 120 over 80, just kind of the typical norm, what everybody's goal always is. When you stand up, that top number should jump up about 10 points because of the different stress positions. So when you're laying down, it's obviously a lot more relaxed. When you stand up, the body should adapt because of the gravity and should raise that top number up 10 points. Now, what obviously, as you know, Dr. Pompa, the people that we work with, so many of those people, the number actually goes the opposite direction. That actually goes down. So what's the dynamics when we look at that you see?
Yeah, exactly. Once again, me as my own guinea pig had this experience. And, what happens is when you stand up, your adrenals have to make that adaptation and tighten up your vessels, literally, just to raise that blood pressure. Well, why? Because it has to keep the oxygen, the blood in your brain. So literally, when you stand up and people go, oh, I feel dizzy. Okay, you don't even need the test. You're feeling dizzy because your blood pressure is dropping. Your adrenals aren't keeping those vessels tight enough, and the oxygen is not getting to the brain for that little bit of moment. So we see that temporary lack or that temporary drop in the blood pressure. Now you can almost look at it and say, okay, well, how long does it take to come back? And then that gives you even another idea of, how burnt are the adrenals. But, I'll tell you, Dave, I'll tell you all, I'm talking to everyone out there right now, not just Dr. J. But when I did this test too, it would be interesting because you could see sometimes your adrenals are in hyper mode. So there was times that I would do that test, and instead of raising 10, maybe 20 is a top normal, mine would raise 50. So literally I was getting this overreaction from the adrenals, which is a bad sign too, because what was happening there is my adrenals were trying to you know, basically respond and, or they're overreacting. And those are the nights that I would not sleep, have more anxiety, even panic attacks, because we were getting this overcorrection of cortisol, adrenaline, and we would see these rises. And then that would last for a little time, and then they would just get exhausted. And from that exhausted position, then we would see, I would see these massive drops in the blood pressure. So, you know, I said that oftentimes I would treat the adrenals, they would get stronger, and I would actually start to see these higher numbers coming, but it was creating more anxiety. So, you know, I was downstream too far trying to work the adrenals. It wasn't until I got upstream further that I was really able to, you know, fix the problem. But there are some things you can do. One thing that I had found out, Dr. J, is Serifos. I'm sure you use it in your practice as well. Serifos, really, it helps taper the adrenal and the cortisol response. So it helps build the adrenals without overstimulating the adrenal. It really just controls that overreaction that I just spoke about. Because that overreaction will keep, you know, just basically lead to more adrenal burnout eventually. So when I learned to take this Serifos, it actually improved my sleep, probably better than anything. Melatonin, all the different things I tried, because it just controlled that adrenaline and cortisol reaction. Oftentimes people get up in the middle of the night at 2 or 3 a.m., just boom, and they can't go back to sleep. It is that rise in cortisol or adrenaline, and that Serifos can help control that. So, and it rests the adrenal. So that was one of the tricks that I had found, Jay, and you might have some others.
Yeah, well, I think you make a great point, Dr. Pompa, that when you wake up 2 to 4 a.m., that's not when you should be waking up. You should be, you know, falling asleep. Obviously, there's different toxins, like mercury is kind of the insomnia toxin. Lead is that one where you can sleep for, you know, at least 9-10 hours and still be tired when you wake up. But when you wake up, you know, at 2 to 4 a.m., that means your adrenals essentially, I like to call them, as firing too early. And the adrenals should start firing and they should start raising up those hormones in the morning when you're supposed to wake up, 6, 7, you know, 8 a.m. If they're raising up too much, obviously, yeah, there's a misfiring of that. And so those are just some, I think, key points to look at. I like vitamin C. What I found is a lot of people that have adrenal fatigue or adrenal exhaustion is they're constipated. They tend to have harder stools and they don't go to the bathroom as much. And so just to define this, because I know this is everybody's favorite topic to talk about bowel movements and and bowels, but it's important, you have to understand this, is that you should have at least 1 to 2 bowel movements every day. When you have just kind of one big one, that's not always the best sign. You really want it to push more to that 2, sometimes even 3. Obviously, category for the people that go every other day, just a couple times a week, I mean, that is severe constipation. So obviously we have to define what that means. Vitamin C is an easy thing to increase because obviously, as I said, 80% of the vitamin C is stored in your adrenals. And so when your adrenals are taxed, that means your vitamin C is low. Vitamin C is a great thing to facilitate bowel movement. So when people are having harder stools or having a hard time, you know, really getting the bowels moving, you know, adrenals have a link with it. You know, vitamin C deficiency is most likely prevalent, and vitamin C helps to kind of facilitate and move the bowels. Obviously, there's other things like, you know, magnesium, probiotics. Really, most of your bowel movement actually comes from the bacteria in your gut, not the fiber that we all consume. As Americans, obsessed with, like, the Metamucil, which has psyllium husk in it, which, you know, when you talk to experts like Jordan Rubin, and he talks about, oh, well, you know, that actually, they're finding that actually scratches the internal surface of the intestine. It's like taking a wire brush, you know, through the intestine. It's like, well, maybe that's not the best way to get the bowels moving. Would you agree with that, Dr. Pompa?
Yeah, no doubt. There's a lot of methods that are definitely in question, but I do love the vitamin C because you're right. It does actually, you know, well, as you mentioned, you know, 80% of it's, you know, utilized in the adrenals. So, you know, a huge help for the adrenals. So far, we gave vitamin C and something called Serifos, which is on our website. So Warren can write that down because people are misspelling it right now as they write it. So
did I spell it right?
S-E-R-I-P-H-O-S.
Okay, I got it right.
It's right on the screen.
S-E-R-I. Okay, I don't see it on.
It's on Dr. J's screen right now. I have got a question for you, and yep. I'm going to bring it back. Yeah, I got a question because let's bring it down to you know, what is causing all of this adrenal fatigue? Now, one of the things that I see prevalent is, and even in kids these days, in teenagers especially, you know, with they're drinking Red Bulls, they're drinking Monsters. People are drinking, you know, Diet Dr. Peppers, thinking that all these things are, you know, it's how I keep my energy going. But isn't this a big contributing factor to what's going on with the stressors and adrenal fatigue these days?
There is no doubt about it. You want to raise, you want to cause a stress on your adrenals, raise glucose up all day long. I mean, forget about the caffeine in there. We'll talk about that in a moment. But you raise glucose up, your adrenals are part of that adaptation to control blood sugar. So every time you raise it up, you're straining the adrenals. And then you add a little caffeine to it day in, day out. We always say, hey, a little caffeine's actually shown to be very healthy. Okay, well, that's a little. You know, it's like after how many Red Bulls or how many cups of coffee, you know, do you just keep driving the adrenals? You know, so too much of anything is bad. You know, no doubt, too many stimulants just to stay awake, too many stimulants just to keep your brain on target, which most children today are doing, obviously is going to lead to adrenal burnout, no doubt. But here's the point I want to leave, and I'll let Jay respond. Look, you know, it's always the accumulation of stressors that causes the burnout. You know, whether it's chemical, physical, or emotional, you've heard me say this again and again, the body's physiological reaction is the same. The adrenals are part of that reaction. So when you put these stressors together, when you have a lot of emotional stress and you have a lot of bioaccumulated chemical stress in the body, you're headed for burnout.
Yeah, and I think that's a pretty important thing that you just kind of glanced on is, oh, the artificial, you know, basically stimulants, basically the prescription drugs. I mean, how many kids in America right now are diagnosed with ADD, which is attention deficit disorder, ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. I probably look like I'm ADHD right now. And then you have like hyperkinetic disorder. You have obviously the autism spectrum, Asperger's, you know, that's a whole, you know, all those things are on that. In what we reach for in America is what? We reach for a pill first. You know, we reach for some kind of drug to calm it down. And when you actually look at the news, it's interesting you bring this up. When you look at the news, CBS published an article. It was July 3rd, so it was earlier this month. And basically they were looking at what they were talking about Denmark research, and they were basically linking Ritalin and Concerta to rare cardiac problems were twice as likely to happen when a kid was given that than if they weren't given that drug at all. And it's, of course, as soon as you see that, you're like, oh my gosh, I don't want to take this because it's going to double my risk of having a cardiac issue, even if I'm a kid or an adult. It links with that. But then when you start looking back in research, you'll see like 2011, New England Journal of Medicine found that there was no link. And then in JAMA, they said that there was no link as well, 2012. But go back even farther, and back in 06 and 09, they actually found that these stimulants that we give kids for ADHD could cause an increased risk of sudden death. So obviously, you'll see out in the literature, you'll see out in the media, kind of it going back and forth. I think this is why we get so confused to some degree, too, in our societies. Like, we hear one thing, then we hear another. But you always have to keep in mind, and as you know this, Dr. Pompa, who's sponsoring it? You know, when you look at studies in 2011, 2012 from the New England Journal of Medicine in JAMA, most likely these were sponsored by pharmaceutical companies. And would they want to find a link between ADHD meds and heart issues? What do you guys think?
Of course they wouldn't, but here's the interesting thing. If I would venture a guess that if you asked many of the people who were on the team that developed some of these drugs, they would never put their kids on it themselves. And I think you and I may have had this conversation. I don't remember one of our doctors.